Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another weekend of the Ask the Experts weekend. And this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
And all you hard workers, it's Sunday morning. I'm glad you decided to get up a little bit early and listen to this show, Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. This show, as you heard Josh say this morning, and he says it every Sunday morning, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. So what does that mean? That means this show is all about you because you're in the workforce, or you're going to be in the workforce, or you retired from the workforce and you're still very interested. Either way, this show is dedicated to you. And the show gives tips and advice on how to better your career, how to advance your career, how to land that next job, how to avoid certain pitfalls in the office that unfortunately me, Pete the Job Guy, I didn't avoid. I tell you where I skinned my knees in my career, or where I've taken a left where I should have taken a right. And I do this because I also walk you through some great tips and lessons that will help guide you around the potholes and not skin your knees. And all my guests are some of Jacksonville's most influential people. And they share their own personal career journeys, elements of it, that tell us how we can, you know, what happened to them. We listen to it, we learn from it, and then we become more efficient, more productive, or we just become better, doggone it. And this show, as I said, is dedicated to you, hard workers. And each and every week, like I said, I have some of Jacksonville's most influential people, and this week is no different. I have a great guest. But before we get to the guests, I like to give you my little monologue and talk to you a little bit about something. And this something today is something that you might think is for geeks. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about math. That's right, mathematics. And a lot of parents that have kids, they ask me, Pete, what should my kid major in college? And I talk to them a little bit, but I always give the same advice right now. If they're good in math and they're a little bit juiced up by math, I say an undergraduate degree in mathematics is hard to beat right now. Why? Because it applies unilaterally to all industries. It applies to every, I don't care what you do in life. 94% of all jobs are math related in one way or another. And I'm going to tell you some stats. 68% of people in the workforce use fractions, decimals, and percentages. More than a third of all blue collar skilled workers use algebra on the job, and they use, in 29% use geometry and trigonometry. It's amazing. Math, you can't get away from it. And let me tell you this. Let's talk about right now. Here are the three key reasons to study math. Number one, math can be used to solve real world problems. Now think about that. Problem solving is the essence of any career in math, right? You solve problems. That's what math is about. Now, listen to these real-world scenarios and questions that I'm going to ask that if you don't know math, you don't have a prayer at solving. Here's a question right here. How can transportation providers design their schedules to minimize downtime and reduce maintenance costs? You better know math to solve that one. Can ethanol realistically replace fossil fuels? How do you determine that, right? It's going to be math. How might an uncontained epidemic of disease spread throughout the world's population? Sounds like math. How do variables like weather and tree type affect the spread of a forest fire? How can investments be arranged for minimum risk with maximum reward? That's a math equation. Guys, math majors have some of the highest levels of job satisfaction. That's number two. Keep that in mind. A math education can lead to some of the most rewarding and satisfying careers out there. in a 2018 study that ranked 200 careers based on job environment, income, outlook, and stress, four of the top 10 jobs were directly related to math. And let's talk about them. Number one, statistician. Number two on the list is mathematician. Number six, Number one was a data scientist. Now, I've run computer technology companies for a lot of years. And I'm going to tell you, the artificial intelligence, the NLP, all of this is all driven towards mathematical algorithms. And these advanced math minds that I can't wrap my head around are the people that sit at the top of the food chain. And math and computers, I mean, that goes everything, even to sports. When they figure out how to change things just a little bit, it's all mathematical equations. You see the most elite athletes suit up with these crazy data points all over them so they can just refine their skill just a little bit more to become more efficient, more productive, etc. You can't get away from math. The very last one was actuary. Okay. And number three, math provides a solid foundation for advanced studies in other fields. So even if you see yourself pursuing a professional career in another field, it could be worthwhile by starting with a math foundation. Engineering, statistics, anything to do with analysis. And again, this goes from all industries, insurance, healthcare, sports, it doesn't matter. So this is the advice that I give to parents. If your kids are good in math and they like math, don't say, okay, go get a degree, an undergraduate degree in engineering because you're good in math. Go ahead and pursue math. Get that really, really solid foundation to build off of because it relates across all industries. So math, again, folks, is sexy. As I told you this morning, I have a great guest. I do every week. I'm fortunate. I have some of the greatest people that might not like to, but here it is Sunday morning. They get up early. They come in. It's early Sunday morning right now, but they yawn, stretch. They get up just like you did, but they get up a little bit earlier. They have a cup of coffee, and they come to the studio to join me here this morning. And my guest, let me tell you a little bit about who I have right now. My guest is the CEO of Airstream Ventures. He's founder and CEO. And Airstream Ventures is a sports marketing and event management company and sales company. And they currently work with and represent some of the following brands that you know very well, folks. Lucas Oil Pro National Motocross Series, Party Shack Tailgating Systems, Spartan Races, NCAA March Madness, Jack's Beach Music Festivals, the High School 912 Program and Events, and Walk Off Charities. My guest is over 25 years as a sports executive. He's directed and worked with some of the nation's largest events, including four NCAA basketball tournaments, Davis Cup tennis, Navy versus Notre Dame football game, SEC women's basketball tournament, and the list goes on. I want to welcome right now Alan Verlander to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. Thanks for joining me, Alan.
Pete, how you doing, man? This is exciting. Thanks for having me on. This is awesome.
It is exciting. What do you think about that math talk I just said?
Well, in the world of sports is all about stats, right? That's all we ever see quoted is this guy shot whatever percentage or this quarterback rating or those kinds of things. So stats, if you want to work in sports, you better have math as a foundation or we're not going to hire you.
Yeah, you see that? I hope everybody...
Was that a good enough plug for you?
But it's true. It absolutely is true.
It is. It doesn't matter what field you're in. Mathematics is great. So now, you know, Airstream, tell us about Airstream and the day-to-day, and what do you do?
Yeah, well, what we don't do is we don't sell them. So we do get about two emails and calls a week saying, hey, I need to get mine repaired. Can I bring it in? No, we don't do that.
The Airstream.
The big silver RV. Bullet kind of thing. Yeah. And that was really the impetus of the name is I own an Airstream with four other buddies, and we take it to music festivals and kind of man-caved it out a little bit. And so when we were coming up with a name for the company, Airstream symbolizes fun and excitement and memories, and that's what we wanted our company to be. So we got approval from Airstream to do that. But really, we're a sports marketing, event management, and sales company. We do a lot of different things here in Jacksonville. Our scope of work is actually beginning to expand into different regions of the Southeast, and even with the Spartan Races as an international brand, we're beginning to do more work with them. So we come in, and whether you need sales help, whether you need event management help. This Lucas Oil event that we just put on a few weeks ago, we had people in Jacksonville from 22 different states, 20 countries.
Wow.
So other than the players, which is a major international event, this was the second biggest international event that we host here in Jacksonville. And so we ran everything from tickets to marketing to concessions to parking, everything in between. And so we kind of serve that niche of people that have a great brand or a great sports property or music property. We'll come in and help you take it to the next level.
Ah, interesting. So how did you go from, because Airstream Ventures is about 1 year old.
We just celebrated our 1 year anniversary on July 1st.
Happy anniversary
Thank you.
To you.
Thank you.
How did you walk away from what you were doing, and what was the big idea? Like, why did you say, you know what, I'm going to do this on my own, and this is why?
You know, I always had a dream probably 20 years ago. I went to work for this company called Host Communications that handled a lot of collegiate sports properties. It's now been bought by IMG, which a lot of people have heard of. And Jim Host was the owner of the company. I always thought, man, it would be neat to own my own company. But then I went the college athletic route and was the athletic director here at JU for a while, and then decided to go more into sports events. And a couple years ago, I was just thinking, you know, it would be fun. This city is growing our sports profile. We have a mayor who obviously is very sports related. Our new city council president, sports tourism is at the top of his list. And it was, the timing was just right. You know, I mean, you talk to people doing jobs, you know, every day, and it's just, you know, with where I was with my age and career, it was the right time to take that jump. And we had enough clients that I knew we could build this company right away. And where we were a year ago to where we are now, it just blows my mind sometimes, because I don't even recognize the business plan that we originally put together 18 months ago.
Right. And you think about Jacksonville, we are uniquely situated for big events, right? You got 95, you got I-10, you got a great airport that's right there, some of the best hotels. And I mean, I know I'm putting my Chamber of Commerce hat on, but we are the River City by the Sea. So not only do you come in for the event, but you could really drive revenue in a lot of different ways by having a really good event right here in Jacksonville.
You can, and that's the Spartan race is a prime example. People came in from all over the country, and that in really world, I think we had people in from Spartan from 9 different countries, and then I think it was like 36 different states.
I was fourth in my age group, just in
were
case you wanted to know. Yes,
hey,
I was.
Bump, virtual bump from back here, right? We can't be next to each other in studio, but so the Spartan race was a prime example. People came in, and they, you know, we were way out at WW Motocross Park, but so many people stayed at the beach. And so they got a true sense of what Jacksonville is about. And when we sell this city, we talk about, we got great shopping, we got great retail, we got great restaurants, but we got beaches that are only 20 minutes away. And you need to take place of all of that stuff. We got a great downtown with the Riverwalk and all of that. So, you know, and then go do the race on the west side of town so you can experience everything in Jacksonville. And to every event that we're trying to lure to Jacksonville, that's what we sell.
That is great. Because, you know, I saw up to and in leading to the event, and Friday night, everybody's meeting here. Saturday, we're doing this. And people were putting it all together, these great plans, and it was all mapped out. You had some people taking fishing charters off the
Yes, you did.
Spot. It was just fantastic. It was really well done. What's the next big event that's coming up?
Yeah, we just announced last week we're doing a the Bold City Showcase, which is our high school football. We're big into high school sports. We do a lot with high school programming. We work with Duval County Public Schools. But we have 6 great football teams that are going to suit it up, all be on television, all be on radio, which in high school you don't get a lot unless you're in the state championship games. But we're going to play it at Bowles. So we've got Lee is going to play Bartram Trail, 2 great storied programs. And then Mandarin's going to play, who's coming off their state championship last year. They're going to play Atlantic Coast, and then Bowles will play University Christian in the nightcap. And Mandarin's got one of the highest rated quarterbacks in the country. He's committed to Georgia right now. But we've got a lot of great players, but it's really to showcase the great high school football that we have. And so that's really our next big event. But then there's a small little football game in this year in November called Florida Georgia. I don't know if you've
ever
heard
of
it. Yeah, might have heard of it once or twice. And so we have done some stuff around that, and so there's just the fall for us is almost more of a resting and business development time, and the spring and summer are when a lot of these events occur.
Okay, when you look back over your career, and I know this is going to be hard to isolate it to just one or two, but what's one of your favorite events and most memorable events that you had a hand in?
So that's an easy one. So in 2010, I was the athletic director at Jacksonville University, and we were also hosting the NCAA tournament that year. And so our basketball team, we lost in the conference tournament, but we got placed in the NIT. And so we were sent out to Arizona to play Arizona State in the first round of the NIT. Well, I was also back in Jacksonville running the NCAA tournament here. So we were trying to do back. So that Sunday night, which is Selection Sunday, we get the teams. Well, we got two small teams with two small coaches named Duke and Mike Krzyzewski and Louisville and Rick Pitino at the time. And a lot of the other teams that were coming with them. Well, later that night, we get selected to go out to Arizona. So running the tournament here, on Tuesday, we're slated to go to Arizona and play there. So we have a press conference here Monday. I get on a private plane, fly out to Arizona, watch our team upset Arizona State on a three-pointer at the buzzer on ESPN. It was on ESPN, and people were going nuts. My phone was blowing up and everything. I get right back from the arena on the plane and fly all the way back to Jacksonville for the practice days of the NCAA tournament that next day. That day, when you run an NCAA tournament, at 4:30, you have the planning meeting with every head coach of the eight teams in your site and every athletic director. Mm-hmm. Here's the manual. Here's the thing. So I'm going over it. What do I have to say? And I'm literally walking in the room, and there's an empty seat, and I see it out of the corner of my eye. So I sit my notebook down. I go talk to somebody, and I come back, and I'm not paying attention. I'm on cloud nine from our victory at JU. I sit down, and we ready to go. I look across the table at the NCAA rep, and he's like, go. And I look to my right, Mike Krzyzewski. Look to my left, Coach Pitino. And I said, I bet I could sell this seat for a lot of money. And my biggest regret, one of my biggest regrets in life, is I didn't have somebody take a picture from the other side of me conducting a meeting with two of the most legendary basketball coaches ever. That would have been unbelievable. I do have that memory, and I do have people in the room that – could vouch for me as well. Right. And so then on that next day, we have games, and then I board a flight and fly all the way out to Lubbock, Texas, and we lost by 2-4 to Texas Tech in the second round of the NIT, fly all the way back home late that night, and we had our games on Sunday, and that was my week. And so from a sports perspective, and from such a sports fan, but a business person in the sports industry for a long time, that's the most fun week I've ever had.
Oh, and it's a great one. Even though there's not a picture, there's one burned in your brain.
In blaze forever. In blaze forever.
All right. I got another question for you. When you look back on your career, our careers are a journey, right? We do a lot of different things. They're seldom like linear. You know, we go in different directions. What careers, jobs did you have early in your career? Anything.
You know, my very first job that people don't realize, because I was being at JU, everybody associates me with being at JU, but my very first job was at UNF. And I like to tell the story. My grandfather, Adam Herbert, was the president at the time at UNF. This was in the early 90s. And he called Dr. Herbert and said, will you bury my grandson in just a job over there? He's graduated from college. He played college baseball, but get him employed. Get him off the payroll.
Just give him something.
Just give him something. Yeah. So they had me as a development, I think, just grunt, cutting out newspaper articles and posting them to pieces of paper and then giving them to the development people to go raise money. Well, after 2 weeks of that, the president's assistant calls me and says, the president would like to see you. I'm like, I've been here 2 weeks.
What did I do?
Am I not cutting straight enough lines or what's going on? Right. And so they had just made a change in their athletic directorship, and he asked me to go over there, which is really what launched my athletic career. I love sports, but that got me into the athletic world. And then, I was hired by Rick Catlett at the Gator Bowl way back when. I was hired two times, but and did that, and then went to work for the Host Communications, and then decided to go to college athletics and work for my alma mater at Samford University in Birmingham. And, it's just I've been very blessed in my career. I haven't had to go look for jobs. They've just kind of fallen.
That's usually a testimony of good hard work and performance.
And relationships, as you well know, relationships are a lot of it. So, I've just been very blessed to have as I look back on 25 years thus far of what I've done, and it's just been a lot of really good times and good memories and made a little money too.
Great. What advice would you give to someone that wants to get into sports marketing and event management? If they just want to break into it and cut their teeth, what advice would you give them?
You know, the same advice I think that I would give any young person coming out is, man, be about giving to others. Be about relationships and not how can that person get your career somebody, but genuinely be a friend to somebody and be genuine with what you're saying. I think so many times we use people to get to that next point and it comes back to bite you, because people can tell. I mean, you can tell. You've been around people a genuine person from not a genuine person. And so, network, but while you're networking, get to know people for who they are and what they stand for. And those relationships that I've formed that are genuine relationships that I formed a long time ago are still dear friends of mine that now we do business. And I just think in the world of social media that we live in, everything is so virtual that people have forgotten to truly touch people and say, man, thank you so much. Thanks for being my friend. Thanks for doing, something to help me and meaning that. Instead, we're going to tweet it. Hey, thanks so much. And a shout out. And, I may tweet being on the show this morning and saying, hey, but getting to know you for who you are, because at the end of the day, that's what really makes this world flow.
You know, and I appreciate you saying that because that transcends all industries, not just in your industry, but in mine. Doesn't matter. We're all, you see so much on the text and social media, and I noticed that kids, as they're growing up now, they can talk to each other better with their thumbs than they can communicating with them face-to-face. And building lasting relationships, it might begin, the genesis might be some kind of a tweet or a communication on the computer, but in order to really know somebody, you have to sit face-to-face, belly-to-belly, shoulder-to-shoulder, spend time with people, really learn them. And I know in my business, in order to really fill a role, and that's what I do a lot, is I'm a professional recruiter, and I'll meet with managers. They can send me a job description, but then I have to have a conversation and say, Alan, what are you really looking for? What haven't you seen in the applicants? Let's talk about your corporate culture and your environment. I want to hit the nail on the head one time. Let me come out there, meet with you, walk around, look at your building, understand the parking, meet the other folks so that when I take one shot, it's a rifle shot, not a buck shot. And that comes through those professional relationships. Any advice you'd give maybe 16, 20-year-old Alan? Give yourself.
If I could go back, man, I'd do a lot of things a little different. But, I think it's just, gain as much knowledge as you can. Read as much about it. We're so used to reading 184 characters or whatever. Really get in depth and study stuff. Be an expert in some of those fields. And then at the end of the day, build genuine relationships with people so that they know you care, because that's really what we stand for as humanity first, but that's going to transcend your business world. And more that we're in social media and less we're in being genuine, the genuine people are going to rise to the top. I really believe that.
I agree,
and it's
100%
proven true as you've seen and I've seen.
Right. If people want to learn more about Airstream Ventures, is there a website or how can they get more information?
There is. Great question. Airstreamventures.com. That's V as in Virginia. Airstreamventures.com. And then you can learn about our High School 912 program through that. And all the different events and properties that we manage and all of our corporate partners, you just go on that website, Airstreamventures.com, and you can learn all about it.
Excellent. That music tells us right now we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. You're listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, on News 104.5 WOKV. Do the hustle. Welcome back, all you hard workers. Boy, if you missed the first half, you missed a great, great show at the beginning. My guest was Alan Verlander, and Alan is the founder and CEO of Airstream Ventures. And listen, it's okay if you missed it. Some of us sleep in. It happens from time to time. My show will air in its podcast at PeteTheJobGuy.com. You can listen to the show in its entirety. I'll post the podcast late Monday afternoon, maybe by Tuesday. We get it up, and you'll be able to hear Alan's and Alan has a fantastic message, a great story, and I really appreciate him spending Sunday morning with us here on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. Now, my next guest is very interesting. I always ask people, you know, send your resumes to me or reach out to me if I can help you or give you career advice or help in any way. This next person wrote into me and said, you know, Pete, you know, I want to talk to you about my professional career and where she's at. So I called her and we talked about it and I invited her on the show. But before I introduce her, I want to ask all of you hiring managers right now that might be looking to hire somebody. This person is on the market right now and involved in an active job search. If you hear something in this candidate and you want more information, you can reach out to me directly. Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com is my email address, and I will put you in touch with this individual. Cherry Doherty, or she says Doherty, I have to get it right. Welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Good. Now, tell us a little bit about your professional experience.
Well, a lot of my life I've spent in learning and development. I also have my IT management degree, which makes me a little bit of a different breed because although I love working with systems and applications, I also love building people.
Oh, you see, that's great. So you got your degree in IT management, and how long have you been teaching been in learning and development? How long have you been in it?
I've been in learning and development about 13 years. Before that, I worked at the college as an adjunct instructor for 5 years, just teaching non-credit classes in all the different applications, Microsoft applications. I've been Microsoft certified trainer. I've been MCSE, so I've been involved in stand-up training. I've been involved in e-learning, learning management systems, data warehouses.
You know, what's interesting is my undergraduate degree is in workforce education. I've been in training and development. I created electronic performance management systems. I've done needs assessments and all
sure.
that. You know, some people, you know, one thing I steered clear of was systems training because at that point in my career, I didn't have a lot of systems, but you got an MCSE or Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer. You have all that IT background. So not only can you do the soft skills, you can facilitate some good technical skill courses as well, right?
Yes, and I enjoy both equally. I've got my Myers-Briggs Type Indicator certification, so I'm a practitioner.
I'm a dominant influencer.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Gotcha. I know you.
Yeah.
So I've been doing a lot of investigating on knowing yourself. I believe that if you know yourself, you can open yourself up to know others. And I always use the analogy of when you meet someone, if they introduce themselves first, you're so busy trying to figure out how you're going to introduce yourself that you sometimes close your mind off and don't hear them. But if you start down a path of knowing yourself and confident in yourself, then when you meet someone,
you'd be more fully invested in listening. I know a lot of times people think listening means waiting impatiently for your turn to talk. And what you're saying is just the opposite. Know yourself so you can be open and fully focused on the individual in front of you. Is
right.
that fair?
Yeah, because if you're being introduced and you've said your name first, then you're clear to open up and listen to their name, and you can better retain it and use it.
What if this is what I've seen your resume. I look at a lot of resumes, and you and I had a very in-depth conversation, and I said, wow, this is somebody that is very, very employable. You're well-spoken. You know where you're at in a conversation. You know what you're looking for. Let's talk about if the moon's aligned right now for Cherry, what kind of jobs would you be open to right now?
I would be open to any job that I could exercise my ability to be a mentor. I love building teams. I love people learning about each other. I love learning in general. I love teaching.
I'd say you could be a very good facilitator of a lot of different courses. You could help develop the courses, right, from needs assessment all the way through curriculum design and development. You could also, if tasked with it, manage a team as well. Is that fair?
And I've done all that.
Yes, yes. Well, guys, if you would like more information about Cherry, I'd like to give it to you. You can just reach out to me, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. I will pass along her information. I'm going to make sure you're not a crazy, though. If I get a crazy call and you want her information, Cherry, I'm not going to give it to
him. No crazies, please.
Well, thank you for spending your Sunday morning, and I hope that we get a hiring manager that expresses some interest in you and you get a good job.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. All right, hard workers, listen, if you need an irrigation system, you need a well, you need your sprinklers fixed, or you need landscape lighting, you make the one call that Pete the Job Guy makes, and that is to Houlihan Territory, 905-285-9505. Scott Houlihan and his great team will take care of you. They give you a free estimate. They come out. The folks are on time. They do a terrific job. I just won Yard of the Month in Isle of Palms, and my yard looks perfect. My sprinkler coverage is perfect. My yard looks great, and I have to tell you, it's Houlihan Territory. That's the call I make. Once again, the number is 904-285-9505. And this next part of the show, if you're a frequent listener, these are the ongoing HR Chronicles of David Mosier. And if you're new to the show, this is is it a bit? Is it a segment? Is it real? I don't know. You be the judge. But there's a guy that works for a manufacturing company in upstate New York. His name is David Mosier. And every week he seems to have trouble with his human resources department. And he does some weird and bizarre things. But, he doesn't see it as weird and bizarre because it's, something that benefits him, usually at the expense of everybody else in the company. And they're pretty funny, the ongoing HR Chronicles. And he told us a couple weeks ago, and he's been giving us updates about his interviewing. He had to hire 5 engineers to really get to understand the candidates that he's interviewing. He decided to hire a group of actors to frighten applicants so he could really be the judge of how they would act in a highly stressful situation. I don't know, but he sent us an update last week. I believe this is another update on whether or not he's made the hires. With no further ado, let's listen to the ongoing HR Chronicles of David Mosier.
Hey, everybody. It's Dave Mosier from upstate calling in to give you an update on how things are going with my job hiring. If you recall from last week, I interviewed 3 different individuals using a theater group that I hired to help me facilitate some of the interviews, and mentioned last week they have 2 more interviews to go, which I'm in the process of doing today. Unfortunately, I'm recording this from HR right now. I'm in HR right now in a chair waiting to speak to the head of HR. I'm dressed in a full snorkeling outfit with fins and mask and snorkel and a weight belt on and everything, waiting to go in to talk to HR. I'll get to that in a moment, but let me talk about how the interviews went earlier in the day today. The first interview I did, I decided to take a little different approach. I had somebody from the theater group who was proficient at miming. I had them stay in the interview room with me the entire time, doing some of the typical mime moves, the trapped in a glass box, pulling on a rope, that type of thing. And then what I chose to do is I just asked the interviewee a number of questions about the miming that was going on, what their interpretation of the miming was, how it made them feel, how they would deconstruct or analyze what was before them, just to try to get an insight into their psyche and how they handle themselves and react and kind of probe deep down into the psychological state of the interviewee. The second interview was where the trouble started. The theater group had a show to do in the evening, so at the last minute they told me they were unable to help me out with the fifth and final interview, which is the second one today. So I wound up having to just improvise on the fly. I found out late in the day, so I had to take an extra lunch and drive down the road to go to a Dick's Sporting Goods. I bought all the various scuba diving gear and everything, and wore that in the interview without the theater group there, and just conducted the interview myself in full snorkeling gear. One of the things I tried to do was I tried to ask all my questions while having the snorkel on, which presented a bit of an audio challenge for them to hear what I was saying and understand how the interview was going. I didn't get too far into the interview before, as you recall, last week, Becky must have heard about what was going on, and she got suspicious earlier in the day when she saw the mime in the cafeteria buying a soda. So she came down to, and you might hear some sirens and things outside. That's not related to my situation. That's just an open window here in HR. Hopefully they're not coming this way. So anyway, she said she ended the interview, dragged me up to HR, and I'm sitting up there now waiting to go in. And I'm not going to be able to talk about the results today. I see them now. They're coming out here. They're starting to wave me in. So I'm going to have to go in and maybe explain some of my thinking and strategy on this. And I'll have to touch back with you next week on where this is.
Yep. There we go. That was the ongoing HR Chronicles of David Mosier. David, just keep sending me those. I don't know about everybody else, but I love them. If you got a comment on David Mosier, on me, my guests, or my weekly contributors, send me a note, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts. If there's a show topic you'd like to see addressed, if you want to learn how to overcome adversity in the workplace or how to deal with a difficult situation, how to land that next career, your next job in your career, how to, ask for a raise, whatever it is. We'll address it right here on the show. I'll invite one of my guests that's an expert at it as well, and we'll have open conversation with tips to help you get through it. Speaking of tips, this next guest, he's a weekly contributor to the show. It's Coach Larry. And each week, Coach Larry gives us a leadership lesson. For all you managers that want to become effective leaders, this is right now the time for you to get your pen and paper out or get your thumbs ready and whatever device you're working on. But take some notes, because the information that Coach Larry shares with you will help you to become more effective as a leader. With no further ado, let's get our leadership lessons from Coach Larry.
As a coach, I have regular conversations with leaders as they work on improving their leadership skills. I was working with one leader, and he was working on where he wanted his career to go next. He was at the top of his field. He had published many studies and literally was known all around the world. The phone rings, and as usual, I asked him, "What do you want to work on today?" And he said to me, "A funny thing happened to me today. I got fired from one of my projects. I was told that I'm too emotional and that I make people uncomfortable because I lose my composure." You know, it used to be that as long as your contributions outweighed your bad behavior, your outbursts would be tolerated. That's not the case anymore, at least in my experience. So let's break down what happened here and how this leader went from being at the top of his game to being out of the game. In the past, I've talked about the amygdala hijack. This is where the emotion part of your brain gets triggered and doesn't allow your logic side of the brain the space it needs to guide your behavior. As a result, you're all emotion. In this situation, our leader was triggered by something. There was something that caused him to lose his cool, to raise his voice, and be somewhat physically intimidating. Now, it's not like he jacked anyone up, but he did lean forward, he pointed, he yelled, and he pounded the table, which is not the best approach for fostering dialogue. So, what do you do about your triggers? Chances are your triggers and the ensuing behavior that it causes can be categorized as a CLM. It's a career limiting move. So first step in keeping your composure is knowing what your triggers are. Start by looking at your values. What's important to you? Values drive behavior. And when your values are attacked, then you push back. This is hard work, but it's critical that you know what triggers you. I typically don't get triggered. In fact, sometimes I'm accused of not being alive. But I can tell you that I am triggered by people who are self-centered. You know what really grinds my gears? When I'm walking off a plane or down the jetway, and I have to walk behind a person who is posting on InstaFace that they just landed in whatever destination. So some common triggers are not being taken seriously, or not being treated fairly, or others not being treated fairly. Or sometimes it's certain perks or traditions that are being taken away. Triggers are individual to the person, but many times there's a cumulative effect in play. Again, back to me, it's not the fact that you took the last Cheez-It that set me off. It's that on top of that, I had to make the communal coffee twice today because people don't have the courtesy to make coffee after they had the last cup. And I know someone drank my half and half. Did I mention that people who are self-centered is a trigger for me? I think I did. So a first step, know what your triggers are, know what sets you off. Next, it's important to know what you don't want to do when you are triggered. I don't want to raise my voice. I don't want to appear defensive. I don't want to be sarcastic. Really. Ask a trusted advisor what they have observed when you get triggered and what the impact is in the room. Then think about what you do want to do when triggered. I do want to seem calm. I do want to be curious and ask questions. And I do want to share my thoughts in a calm manner. I hear often people say that, you know what, Larry, I just reacted. I had no choice. But here's the thing. You always have a choice, even if it's a nanosecond. What helps is you knowing your trigger, recognizing the thoughts and feelings associated with that trigger, and knowing the behavior you want to demonstrate instead when triggered. So here's what I do when I'm triggered. I know that I don't want to appear defensive and I don't want to say something I will regret. The feeling I get when triggered is that I just want this to end. I just want to move on. So what I do want to do is slow things down and ask questions. I try to embrace the fact that I'm really uncomfortable and being okay with that. So now my reaction when I am triggered and feeling defensive is I ask in a calm manner, tell me more about that. Or I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. Then if I need to disagree, I say something like, well, I see it differently, and here's why. So, what are your triggers? What really grinds your gears? I want to know. Connect with me on LinkedIn or go to my website, www.mendozaandobrien.com.
Thank you so much, Coach Larry. Another gem. Guys, if you want to engage Larry, I highly recommend that you do. He has my strongest personal and professional endorsement. Just go to Mendoza and O'Brien. Larry O'Brien is the chief learning officer. He can customize a program for you to help you to be an effective leader. He has a whole bunch more things that he does, so I invite you to go out there and engage Larry. He does a great job. Guys, you're listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete, the Job Guy. And this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. So what does that mean? This show is dedicated to helping you to become more effective and productive in your current role, help you land your dream job, or give you tips to deal with difficult people. See, the goal here is to talk about real-world situations and help prepare you for them. My guests and I share our different work experiences. We'll tell you where we've skinned our knees or taken a left, where we should have taken a right, and give you tips to help guide you through those difficult situations so that you'll be better equipped and prepared. This is all about you guys, and that's what this show is about. If there's a topic you'd like to see addressed, you just write to me, Pete at Pete the
thejobguy.com, and we'll make sure we take care of you. This next part of the show is one of my favorites. Every week, we get an update from Boston Danny. He tells us a little bit about the fair city of Boston, the weather, what's happening, and he brags about his doggone sports teams all the time. But what he also does is give shout-outs. So if you have somebody that has a special event in their life, a birthday, an anniversary, any kind of something that, you know, they accomplished something special, you write into us. You just go to pete@petethejobguy.com or go to my website, petethejobguy.com. There's a section in there that you can fill out a little thing and say, hey, Boston Danny, give me a shout-out. And we'll do it live on the air, and you have your person listen to it, and it's pretty cool stuff. But with no further ado, what we'd like to do is go to Boston Danny with our Boston update.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here with your update from the north. Well, summer's underway for sure up here. Last weekend, my wife Cheryl and I, we went down to Hyannis down the Cape, stayed over for the weekend. It was beautiful. We were down in South Yarmouth. We were doing some beaches. We went to Seagull Beach, which is on Nantucket Sound. And, you know, not much chance of seeing Whitey down there, which is nice, even though he did make his appearance on the Outer Cape. I guess they've tagged the most sharks they've had the quickest this year. So sounds like the great whites have found the joy of Cape Cod beaches also. So we're having a good time. Brought back a lot of good memories of being down the Cape from when we were kids. Route 28, still the same. We did a lot of the tourist stuff. We did some kayaking. We did some biking, kayaking the marshes. It was beautiful. We did some rail trails. You know, they pave over the old railroad trails that was down in Falmouth. We did what they call the Shining Sea Path. It was beautiful out, nice and hot. A couple good dinners. We were, a lot of seafood again. Fried clams, lobsters, raw bars. Had a really good time. Some karaoke down at the Fresh Catch in downtown Hyannis. So everyone was just having a good time. Lazy days of summer here. Things are getting, you know, quicker. We take care of things. We're still working, hard working. We're doing all our, getting all our business taken care of early so we can enjoy ourselves. So I got a bunch of shout outs for birthdays this week. I hope everybody has a wicked piss a day and they make all their wishes come through for them. So for Emily Rogers, Sharon Green Cleveland, Joanne Quatler, Tyler Tatum, and Chris Jones, happy birthday. Have a wicked piss a day. I want to give a special happy birthday shout out to my wife, Cheryl. I know most of her wishes have come true, and I'm here to make the rest achievable. I love you, Danny. We got an anniversary to John and Jennifer Meavers. John says, thank you, honey, for 7 great years from your loving husband, John. Sounds very nice, John. I know how it feels. Congratulations to Ryan. Seems like he's quite an angler. He caught himself a huge red snapper. We don't have many of them up around here, but we have bluefin tuna. We have, you know, I don't know what you guys call them, rockfish. We call them the stripers, the sea basses. So good for you, Ryan. Keep up the good work. Hope you're eating everything you're catching. Jacksonville, enjoy yourselves. Brothers and sisters, keep on the hard working. Peter, love the show. I'll be in touch with you next week. Keep the shout-outs coming, folks. Thank you.
All right, Boston Danny. Boy, I love that. And, you know, I've got a lot of email from you guys saying, what is the deal with this Boston Danny? And most of it's very positive, and someone wrote something really funny. I can't share it on the air, but it was hilarious. I love Boston Danny. I love getting my HR Chronicles of David Mosier and my leadership lessons from Coach Larry. I believe I have the best weekly contributors. I got the world's best producer right here, Josh McCarthy. Woohoo! And I'm happy that you're here listening to the show, or not here, but I'm happy you listen to the show for those of you that listen to it every week and you're right into me. My guest today was the CEO and founder of Airstream Ventures, and that is Alan Verlander. I invite everybody that didn't listen to the first half of the show, some of you didn't get up early enough, shame on you, to go out to my website, petethejobguy.com. Go out there tomorrow afternoon. I'll have the podcast uploaded. You'll want to hear what Alan has to say about his career, some of the tips he's given, the exciting things that he's done. I just love being around the guy. When he talks, he kind of lights up because This guy lives, breathes sports and athletics and marketing and events. And this is Airstream Ventures is you need to go out to that website and learn more about it. So it's fantastic. So I also had Cherry Doherty on, and she's looking for a job. I invite you to listen to that podcast. If you missed her, we did a little mini interview, and she is on the market. And if you'd like more information about how to reach her, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. Guys, that music tells us we're wrapping up the show. We're coming to the end. You've just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.